We talk about food. We talk about music with musical dudes. Finger on the pulse, snacky tunes.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Snacky Tunes on HeritageRadioNetwork.com. I'm one half your host, Terry Diabolic, Finger on the Pulse. Sitting down, throwing on the cans, is DJ Never Forget. How you doing today, man?
I am good.
Good like this salad?
Good like this salad.
We are very excited today. We have one of our favorite people in the world sitting with us. Hello, Travis Hayden.
Hey, yo.
He's here to talk about music and the current state of the music industry. I'm going to drop some tunes, and hey, how's it going? We got some people outside waving to us in the back of Roberta's. Did you never forget, what was that track that we heard?
It's All in the Jungle. Beg to Differ vocal mix. It's either out or coming out on the Worst record label.
And we are joined today by a very fantastic food guest.
Her name is Brenda Stanley, and she is writing a book called The Zucchini Houdini, which is coming out in July, about the wonderments of zucchini. And she's going to be on in just a little bit to talk about why zucchini is such a magical fruit.
It's funny because Travis is going to be playing a game of Hide the Pickle later.
Yeah.
And also DJ Sadie is in the house as well, kicking it on the ones and twos. Sadie, anything? No, she's got nothing.
Sadie's a dog.
Anyway, so we just got back from a very fantastic trip from Montreal and also from Phoenix. A lot of great eating on the road, which is always important when you're traveling to really do research in advance, Phoenix was very fruitful in the way of Carne Asada and America's Taco Shop.
Right
off the highway, they do Carne Asada.
Right off the airport.
Yeah.
You could fly to Phoenix, get a taco, and get back in the airport.
Yeah.
If you had a 3-hour layover, you could probably take a taxi there and back.
They have taco trucks in the airport?
No, this is like a taco state. They won like Phoenix Alt Weekly Best Carne Asada.
Really?
Yeah, it was good.
I think we had it on in, breakfast burrito form, quesadilla, torta.
Tacos.
Taco, open-faced taco.
Closed-faced taco, sideways taco.
Yeah. And then in Montreal, we went to the famous Walensky's, which we've never been to because it's only open Monday through Friday from about 9 to 4, and it's been around since 1932, just celebrating its 75-year anniversary.
Your math is just...
A few years ago. they have the Walensky special, more or less, and it's a grilled bun, bologna, salami, mustard, cheese, and soda fountain sodas and kernutzel, which is a type of sausage.
And not cut. They will not cut it for you.
No.
Which is weird.
But it was good. And the farmer's market.
Farmer's market was amazing.
Yeah, there was it's in Little Italy, right off Ave de Gasp, and it's a huge open market, and the produce is really fresh. I mean, you can only buy like buckets of oranges, and they were $4, or like full bags of things because it was so cheap, not really small. It was really full fruit and fresh produce and meats, and they had food stands and everything. And I'd never been there, but our friend Mel, who works over at Pop Montreal, took us over there, and it was really nice. Really good.
And they had young garlic, which you could just grill whole and eat, sort of like, I don't know, leeks?
It was like leeks, but young, it was just seasonal, like ramps, but now young garlic. And then, yeah, it was good. Played a good gig. Thank you to the peer pressure kids for having us up there.
Yeah.
And you haven't been there since you were like 16, right?
Right. First time in Canada in 10 years. Ate some good food.
Let's not forget about the poutine and smoked meat sandwiches at the Main.
Oh, yeah.
Which, we didn't get a chance to make it to Schwartz's just because we were just running around so much. But the Main, actually not as bad as I remember it. I thought it was pretty good.
No, it was good.
I enjoyed it. And what else? Oh, here's a tip. Well, don't eat and do a radio show at the same time. But don't travel with a bunch of creative artist people and not expect to get stopped at the border for, hour and a half. Our car got x-rayed. We got the regular border, our car got searched, and then we got individually interviewed during the entire time, pretty much just because our jobs were TV producers, record labels, waitress, and they're like, when are you leaving? We're like, Sunday?
Yeah, whenever it works. Yeah,
whenever.
Again.
Yeah.
And also,
whenever it starts back up.
You know, we interview a lot of artists on the road who are just like, oh, there's really no option on the road to eat, you just got to eat fast food. And sort of like, oh, put in a little effort and you can eat better than fast food. But really, even in, that stretch of, like, northern New York State, there was really no options except for, like, Roy Rogers, McDonald's, unless you packed lunch. And, and a lot of times, especially with Canada, you can't bring food across the border. Like, they took our oranges and things like that. So we were stuck eating McDonald's and not,
I kind of contend that if we had done research, we could have maybe, like, driven into Plattsburgh and found something. But that would have taken, 3-4 hours to, like... Yeah. Fine.
And in these small towns, I'm sure even if you drive 5 minutes off an exit, you're going to find a small town treasure diner.
Right.
Of course. I'm talking simple, just like I have to get to A to B in 6 hours and I can't leave the highway.
But without the research.
Yeah without the research. So I guess
you're eating a bacon ranch McDonald's salad.
I asked the guy, I was like, at McDonald's, I was like, I just want a really basic, simple salad. And he's like, the Caesar salad just has lettuce in it. And I was like, all right, guy, give me Southwest. Southwest.
But overall, it was a good trip and, good people and good times.
Yeah.
But, so what else? I mean, it's tough coming, we were gone last week and now we're back and we're gearing up to go on the road for punches in a few weeks. Things are going really well. We just found out that... thanks through Travis's help and Simon White, we had a Keeley, who was the original singer from Block Party. We got an official remix. What is it? Dub, knighted,
yeah,
bespoked,
yeah.
And then we just found out right before we go to Europe, we're going to be opening up for Holy Ghost Classic and Jessica 6 at the second edition of the Dancerite party at 880's Palace. So
super psyched. Thanks.
Congratulations, guys.
Thanks. Thank you. Well, thank you to we're really, really realizing now it's a big team effort. Thanks to Christopher Bond for helping us get that going.
So we're going to play a track that that you actually gave me, the Hugo Van Dyke track that you sent me.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to come back and talk to Brenda Stanley about the magic of Zucchini, a.k.a. Zucchini Houdini.
Awesome. So you're listening to Snacky Tunes. Big shout out to Roberta's for the delicious pizza and food. Big shout out to Jack Insling, RecTech, our producer and engineer. And another great week of shopping at Fairway Market. I don't know if you've ever been to the one out in Red Hook or the one uptown, but they are awesome and affordable and delicious. And they have an olive oil bar that's insane. One's so smoky that it made me choke. Snacky Tunes, Heritage Radio Network, DJ Never Forget, drop a hot one. Thanks for that track, Travis.
You're welcome.
It's a bit of a heater.
Yeah.
A bit of a Monday heater.
It's always weird to me when they make remixes that are like 2.5 minutes.
Yeah, and you know, I'm thinking about it, and I have this whole folder of tracks on my computer that have just been given to me. They're demos or other labels that, you know, maybe want us to put this out in the United States. And that could very well just be a really good demo. That never got finished.
Yeah.
I guess so. I guess, like, why take, you know, months to put together a 6-minute track when, you know, you only need to put together 2 minutes?
Yeah. But I believe that came by way of CR2 Records. So thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks, CR2. So on the phone with us right now, we have Brenda Stanley. Brenda, are you there?
I am.
Brenda, hi. Welcome to Snacky Tunes.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. You know, Brenda actually just wrote us and reached out to us about this book that she had written called The Zucchini Houdini, and asked if she could be a guest, and we always like to encourage people writing in. So, Brenda, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
So, why don't you tell our readers about your love for zucchini and why you feel it deserved to have an entire book written about it?
You bet. I've been growing and cooking with zucchini since I was actually quite young. Even my family, my parents grew it, so it's something that I've been around for a long time. I have always loved it, but I also found that there are a lot of people out there that don't, and I couldn't figure out why. Several summers I had just a ton come out of my garden, and so I started giving it away and realized that there was a lot of people who were giving zucchini away because it's so prolific. And as I started researching on the internet, I found that it's become almost a joke in that they have a national Leave Some Zucchini on Your Neighbor's Doorstep Day, which is August 8th.
Oh, the day before my birthday.
That's right.
I know what we're getting you, or getting a lot of you.
Well, and it's it is such a wonderful fruit, and it is a fruit, and it is something that is high in vitamins. It's almost 95% water, so it's very, very low in calories, obviously fat-free. And what I've found is that there are so many ways that you can fix zucchini that if you don't like it, there is certainly some way that you can fix it that you will.
And what are some of the more popular ways that you found? You know, there's always grilling and it's raw and salads,
right.
But what are some of the more adventurous ways to eat zucchini?
Well, one of my favorite recipes is a zucchini apple crisp, and it uses no apples whatsoever. It's all zucchini, and if you take a zucchini, and a larger one, peel it, seed it, and then cut it lengthwise, and then into little slices, they look just like apple slices.
Oh.
And if you take those and then cook them in an apple crisp exactly the same way that you would regular apples, with adding a little bit more sugar to your mix before you put them in the actual dish, it fools everyone. And it's one of my favorite recipes to make for people, because I'll serve it and they will have no clue that I'm serving them zucchini.
And what is a dish that you feel really exemplifies the taste of zucchini? Like, I love zucchini. I love the way it tastes. What really brings out the flavor of the fruit in one of the dishes in your books?
Well, I think a lot of the skillet recipes that I have, and the zucchini cookbook is broken up into some kind of interesting sections. Instead of desserts or different ways of dividing it out, what I've done is divided it into how you cook it. And so we've got, getting in hot water is one of the sections, and it's all different soups that you would make out of zucchini. One that I absolutely love is a zucchini crab bisque. And it's a blended soup that has a wonderful flavor of zucchini, but also has that just real delicate hint of crab in it. So it's really a good soup. Another one that I absolutely love is a cheesy green chili zucchini soup that has chunks of zucchini in it, but it's just got a wonderful green chili flavor as well. In the All Fired Up section, which is mostly skillet and fried zucchini, there's a zucchini crab cakes recipe that is amazing, and it uses absolutely no crab whatsoever. You grate the zucchini and fry it into crab cakes using a little special seasoning that literally makes those zucchini cakes taste like crab cakes.
Wow.
Sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Now,
there's some great, great things.
How easy is it to grow your own zucchini in the backyard, especially since it's such a prominent fruit and people are starting to grow more and more produce in their backyards? Is it easy to start up?
It is so easy. And in fact, I think that's the reason why it's become one of those prolific type vegetables that everybody seems to have too much of. You can start it as a seed in the ground, or you can start it in, the little garden houses before you actually plant it out into your garden, depending on where you live. And I live in Idaho, and so we have to really be careful with the weather, just because even right now we've been down to freezing. We had snow yesterday.
What?
So you've got to be careful.
Wow.
Yeah. But for the most part, it is a very, very hardy vegetable fruit to grow. And I would suggest anybody who has even just a small plot to try a couple of zucchini plants. The other thing that's really nice about zucchini is the flowers that are produced before the actual fruit forms are wonderful in recipes, and I've got a section just for that as well, that you can stuff the zucchini flowers and bake them. You can fry them. They're just delicious. And that way you can head off some of the, you know, where you're getting too much of the actual zucchini.
Now that's sort of like, I guess, Mexican cuisine does like squash blossoms and things like that, like stuff mm-hmm. like with goat cheese. And so that's sort of a new way to take that sort of dish and sort of flip it a little, right?
Exactly. And that is something I don't think a lot of people have really been accustomed to, but it's so good. And it's just really a great way to, like I said, stave off having just bushels and bushels full of the zucchini itself.
So what does the future of zucchini look like, both for at-home chefs and in restaurants? Is it on a rising trend of more menus?
You know, I think it is. And I think the thing that I've tried to convince people who tell me that they don't like zucchini is to encourage them to try it in different ways, because most of the time the reason why someone doesn't like zucchini is because of the texture, and they have been served zucchini that has been overcooked, and so it's got that mushy texture that they don't like. And so if you cook it properly, where you're not overcooking it and you're letting it have some crispness to it, you're going to have more flavor and you're going to enjoy it a lot more. But of course, the other thing that people are used to is zucchini bread. Most people, if they've had zucchini, they've either had it fried or steamed to the point where it's mushy, or they've had it in zucchini bread. And so that's the only way that they say that they like it. There are so many other ways, and that's the reason I wrote the book, is that, yeah, you know, I've got several zucchini bread recipes in this book, but I also have a plethora of other recipes that hopefully will get people on the bandwagon realizing that it's really good.
Well, thank you so much. I know the book doesn't come out till July, but is there a place that someone can pre-order it?
Absolutely. Barnes & Noble has it on pre-order, as well as Amazon.com and Borders. So now's really a good time to get it, because it's at a lower price, and it's, like I said, going to be out probably end of June, 1st of July.
Great.
And
so,
it's been fun.
So plant the garden now, and by the time the book gets there, the zucchinis will be ready to be cooked.
You will have
cook.
Plenty. Well, that's right.
Brenda, thanks for joining us. The book is called Zucchini Houdini. Coming out on Cedar Fort Publishing, end of June, beginning of July. Brenda, thank you so much for writing us. This was really informative.
Thank you so much. You guys have a great day.
You too.
Thank you.
And if you're like Brenda and you've got a cool food project or a book or a website or something, and you'd like to be on Snacky Tunes, it's just as easy as writing us music@fotpnyc.com. Tell us about yourself, and we're really nice. We're really pleasant. And we'll probably put you on here as soon as we can.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun to hear about these projects that are coming out all over America, especially ones about growing produce in your backyard and starting trends, especially with food stuff. Travis, you got look like you got some food trends that you want to talk about coming up.
Yeah.
Mostly eating burgers and wings.
Yeah. I've been trying to segue out of my penchant for burgers. Except for last night.
Yeah.
I had a burger.
We tried to get Mexican food, but San Loco was totally busy.
Yeah.
For that Lost finale. Yeah and also big shout out to the Lost producers. Way to end that series.
Yeah, good one, guys.
Good one.
Yeah.
You know. Anyway. So here we go.
I was happy with it. I think that obviously there's some questions that will never be answered, but I think in the end they you know, it's a TV show, and they, you know, did a TV show in a new way, and I enjoyed it.
Well, maybe they'll answer some of those questions in a Lost movie.
No.
Or in the like Miles and Sawyer cop spinoff show, or the Lost and Harley buddy comedy on the island.
Yeah. Anyway, you're listening to Snacky Tunes. We're gonna jam on some pizza from Lovely Roberta's, talk about our shopping trip to Fairway later this afternoon, who's one of our awesome sponsors, and give a big high five to Jack Inslee and Rec Tech, our producer and engineer. While Did You Never Forget does a small set, Snacky Tunes, Heritage Radio Network, here we go. We'll be right back. That sounds like a summer heater coming at you live on Snacky Tunes, some DJ Never Forget. And I'm Terry Diabolic. That was Higher and Higher Punches Edit coming out in just a few weeks. It's going to be our free summer giveaway for all you Soul Filter House fans.
Hey, yo.
And hey, yo. And the first one was Gary Kosa for Double Exposure. Love is Feeling 2010 Edit, which is coming out soon, and it looks awesome. Hey, cheers, guys.
Hey, cheers.
Big shout out to this wine. No? No wine for you?
No, I'm good.
Well, looks like Team Money and I are going to have a few drinks.
Yeah.
That's fine.
So we are joined today by the one, the only, Travis Hayden, who wears many hats.
We first met Travis when I was tour managing when he was over at iHeart Comics with Mr. Franklin Chan. And then he moved out here to work at Devcoat.
Yep.
And then recently he is the general manager of Big Beat.
That's right.
Which is the dance record label at Atlantic.
Yeah, it's...
did I get that right?
You did.
I just condensed all your life, your 5 years of your life down to 30 seconds.
That's what the Wikipedia page says anyways.
Do you have a Wikipedia page?
No.
Not yet. We'll start one.
They deleted it.
Yeah.
Can you start your own wiki page?
Yeah, but it goes through a series of editors, and if anyone flags it, pretty much, you have to back it up by press and all of these things. You guys could.
Yeah, I guess
we could.
I hope
someone just sends me a link of my wiki page.
So the reason we brought Travis in today is because tomorrow he's flying out to Ibiza, which is the opening weekend.
Yeah, it's part of IMS, which is the International Music Summit. It's the largest electronic music convention, so to say, I guess. It's basically, it's everyone that's involved in the electronic music industry, and they all get together for this one moment. It's about 4 days. It's panels, discussions, workshops that all revolve around dance music and electronic music. And I'll be part of a panel called Boom Boom Now. It's only about dance music in the U.S. It's Patrick Moxie, who owns Ultra Records, Arthur Baker, a very well-known producer, Tommy Sunshine, and some others. And basically, we'll be discussing dance music in America, why it's so popular right now, if it's going to stick around, how long will the major labels be interested in it, and just various topics. It's something pretty new.
Can we get a preview on your thoughts of why it's so popular right now?
I've thought about it quite a bit, and there's a lot of different factors that are involved. And one of the things that I've noticed, and which is the most important in any form of music, is that the kids are into it now. They have been in the past, and I remember when I was younger, when I was a teenager, and it was Chemical Brothers, Moby, and Depeche Mode, and those were the biggest guys. The only problem that I had was I couldn't go see most of those when they were still young because everything was 21 and up. And now there's a lot of dance programs are 18 and up. Some are even all ages, as DJs are taking more form in proper venues versus clubs.
Right. And I think a lot of people who are into that, that were 21 up, now have kids and still like that. There's like Baby Disco at LPR. I think that's the name. But, you know, I think The Rub also does, like, you know, some of those guys have kids now, and they have, you know, dance music for kids. So it's kind of like they love this music and now are positioned to make it accessible at all ages.
Yeah, it's simply more accessible. Even Pasha has a under 18 night that they do once a month.
And, really?
Yeah.
I also think that with the ease of DJing now and the ease of producing tracks, more and more kids, and I do mean kids, like 13-year-olds, are getting like Fruity Loops or something like that or something, and making their own tracks, which before seemed so inaccessible because you needed all these sort of things.
You needed a studio.
You need a studio. First, you could just pick up a guitar. Now you can just open up a laptop and just, you know, make a track.
Yeah, you can download something illegally, some program, and the music is accessible. How many small towns had a vinyl store?
Yeah,
with dance music imported from all around the world. And now you have blogs, which has assumed the position almost of radio from when we were younger.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. And it's also like, you know, you know, what's easier than, you know, just being in your bedroom and writing a few, three or four songs, and then you already have like a set, as opposed to, not to say like not being in a band is great, but this is just, it's easier, you can do it, you can follow your passion, you don't have to rely on anybody except yourself, and it's just, it's like the easiest route to making music.
Yeah, and even when I was 15, 16, 17, and I loved electronic music, I had a couple keyboards, but I had no means necessary for production. And that's why when I was that age, I played guitar in bands, because there was simply no way for me to write electronic music.
Right. So, and now with every, I mean, and it's weird to say, but with, even with the advent of YouTube, if you have a question about how to like make a beat or something, that there's millions upon millions. Yeah. Of, I mean, you virtually have a free library of how to make dance music. So, yeah. So you're excited, and are you going to see anybody out any of the parties you're going to?
Yeah, I'm really excited to see Luciano. He's playing on the Sunday or Monday night. He did a really great party at DC 10. You know, he's kind of coming back and moving his party. It's a huge Cadenza record night that he's the owner of, and that'll be exciting. But other than that, it's kind of the usual suspects. There's David Guetta and all kinds of other faces. So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Awesome. Yeah, I mean, are you going to hit the beach?
I'm going to try to.
How many days are you there for?
Four.
Four. Anyway, all right, so Travis is going to make his way over to the DJ booth, and we are going to hear some songs from the one that only Travis Hayden. You're listening to Snacky Tunes, Heritage Radio Network. Big shout out to Roberta's. Also, last week we had our first barbecue with them for our barbecue blowout series, and it was great. Thank you again to InCase and New York Magazine. And there's a really great write-up if you look on Village Voice, and their Nikki Digital took some really great pictures. And shout out to Babby and Patrick from Modular Records for spinning awesome, awesome music, and Gabe for slinging some of the spiciest jerk chicken around. Also, shout out to Fairway Markets, our wonderful sponsor for this week. Again, if you've never been to the Red Hook location, it really is awesome. Really great food and produce, fantastic fish market, and great great overall aesthetics. And Jack Insling and Rec Tech, thank you so much for producing and engineering our show. Terry Diabolic, one half of Finger on the Pulse, Did You Never Forget, is over there with Travis. We are just getting set up to get a live set. And a big shout out to DJ Sadie Reynolds, the in-studio dog for today. We'll be right back.
Sunday, wake up, give me a cigarette. Last night's love affair is looking vulnerable in my bed. Silk sheet pulled down, Colgate tongue. You quit your crying, I can't sleep. 1 minute I'm a little sweetheart, and next minute you are an absolute creep. We've got a session. I wanna wipe out all the sad ideas that come to me when I am holding you. We've got a session. All you ever think about is sick ideas involving me, involving you. One more bit of one bit of practice to get it.
Back at me.
All right. You almost owed me a Coke for having Jinx.
I know. All right.
Buck up, buddy.
Technical difficulties today on Snacky Tunes.
Yeah.
That's all right. You know, we're not professionals. We never claimed to be.
No.
We're gritty.
Yeah. I do.
We're the streets.
It wasn't our fault. Mac's fault.
Yeah.
On the high tower. What? Looking down the streets.
So what was that you just played?
So we played three songs. The first one was Mel Choir Production Limited. That was Who Can Find Me. Cadenza Records put that out a while ago. It's a minimal techno gem that I've always loved, and I just wanted to play it. And then after that was Acid Girls' remix of Marina and the Diamonds' Obsessions, which is the first time that was ever played online or on radio or anything.
No, world premiere. Tooth exclusive.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
And that'll be released on Marina's album in the U.S. And after that was Arthur Russell, Habit of You. He just released a bunch of just demos, B-sides, and really unreleased material. I forget how long ago. It's within the past year. And I've always been a huge fan of Arthur Russell, whether it's been his disco music, cello compositions, or anything at all. So that's a new one.
That man's prolific.
Yeah.
And he's making a comeback.
Yeah, that's a deep cut.
How was his show? Did you go to the Webster Hall show?
No, Arthur Russell died.
Yeah, he's dead. I'm sorry. I was thinking of Arthur Baker.
Yeah. He is prolific as well.
They're both prolific.
Yeah.
Arthur Russell did not play Webster Hall.
Terry also having technical difficulties from drinking that wine.
It's hot in here.
It is hot in here. Well, Travis, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Have a good trip to Ibiza.
I will.
What do you have lined up?
Ibiza.
What do you have lined up for us for the last track?
I'm going to play a complete departure. A Weezer demo. I don't know too much about it. I don't think it's ever been released. It's just been some demo floating around that I've had. It's called Rabbit in the Snow. And this one's going out to DJ Babby V in Williamsburg.
Awesome. And we went blue, Pinkerton, and green album, respectively, on the car trip back from Montreal.
They still
hold up. Green album, not feeling it.
Yeah. Pinkerton, yes.
Yes. Anyway, Snacky Tunes, we'll be back next week with some really awesome stuff. Really, really good stuff. And a big shout out to Luke John Riffle, who just walked in, one of our favorite buddies and partners in crimes. All right, here we go. Goodbye.
Hey, you.
See ya.
My friend out in the eve, deep in the shady glen, I saw you lying with him down in the snow. Letting him do all of the things that he wants to.
suited you. They're so nice. And how does it feel when it takes your hand and kisses it twice? Lying with you down in the snow, letting him do all of the things that he wants to.
Your lover in the snow.